All right, welcome into another edition of the Wobcast. I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw, inside TCO Studios at Winter Park. Producer Nate Vaughn is here. We've taken the microphone from him this show, however, which won't preclude him from making noise in the background or trying to make people laugh. But the reason we have done that is because we have two guests. We have Lindsay and Eric in the house to help us talk about the comings and goings in the NFL throughout the week. But mostly what we saw during OTAs, because the Vikings held their first of 10 OTAs, their first series of OTAs this week. Three of them, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. They happened to coincide with VEN production days. So this was a very busy week around Winter Park. The part that you care about, though, as a listener, is the OTA. So we're going to talk about that with Lindsay and Eric. But first, a few news and notes to get through. Guys, Teddy news this week. And maybe not really news, but Teddy stuff this week.
Yeah.
I think it qualified as news.
Okay.
I mean, I think fans were surprised and yeah. It progression and it further along than where we maybe thought he was or last saw him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think it was maybe news for the fans, but not to the team, because it was interesting to hear some of the players' reactions when they were asked about it, and they were like, well, you know, we've been seeing how he's progressing, and, you know, he's working really hard, so, but for fans, it was nice to see kind of that update on his rehab.
It's weird, as producer Nate noted, Zim is out, and Teddy was in this week, pretty much, and Teddy really wasn't in, he didn't practice, but he was here, and Coach was not. So Coach not being here was another buzzworthy topic. Now, since it was announced that he wouldn't be here, you know, he's spoken to the media, he's spoken to us, and his chat with us came via FaceTime, and that's going to be up on the site so people can check that out. But it seems like, even though he's been resting and relaxing at his ranch in Kentucky, that he's keeping a pretty close eye on things. Is that what you guys get the sense?
Yeah, he had a conference call earlier today on Friday with Twin Cities Media, and he just kind of gave an update on his eye.
Mm-hmm.
But he also said, I may not be in Minnesota, but I know what's going on. You know, he's watching film. He's at the daily conference call with the coaches. He's texting players.
Yeah.
He said players are probably tired of me texting them because, you know, it probably as soon as them see something on film, he's texting a guy, you know, try and get your feet different or line up here or, you know, do this or do that.
Yeah.
Right. It's definitely not a week off from players or for players just because he's not physically here. And they kind of spoke to that as well.
I guess that's good because there won't be pent-up coaching angst when he gets back.
You know, hopefully.
He's releasing all of it right now, so it won't come Fast and Furious when he does return, which we hope is going to be in a couple of weeks. A few rookies have signed their contracts. Five, I believe, Jaleel Johnson, Ben Gideon, Daniel Isadora, Rodney Adams, and Ifadi was the other one, right?
Correct.
Did Ifadi sign?
Yes.
Yeah, he did too. So five of our 11 draft picks under contract. And then earlier in the week, the NFL owners had another set of meetings. These are not as well publicized as the ones in Arizona. These were in Chicago.
Spring meetings, right.
But they did address a few important topics, and we'll go through those here quickly. I think the one that fans care about the most is the celebration penalties. They've relaxed those a little bit.
Right.
Now, I'm still not sure all that is legal and not legal. Like, I saw something on the internet that said the dunking the ball over the goalposts is not allowed,
okay,
I believe, in these new rules.
So they'll have to really know what's allowed going into it.
I think they need to clarify that a little better because they just kind of generally came out and said, hey, we're relaxing the rules on celebrations. But then the next question is, okay, well, what exactly can players do? And I think people are still a little confused on that.
The league is usually really good at clarifying and explaining rules to teams in training camp because they send officiating crews to different sites and they go through points of emphasis, rules, changes, and all that. And you can be sure that the celebration thing is something they will go over. So I'm not concerned about that, but right now you're right. We do wonder what is and is not legal.
I know that snow angels are now allowed.
I was just going to say that. Yes.
It doesn't matter for us because...
Right. Well, it will when we're scoring touchdowns in Lambeau Field.
Very true.
And Jarius Wright said if he gets in the end zone this year, he would whip out a snow angel with no snow.
Even if he was in U.S. Bank Stadium?
I guess.
Okay. look forward to seeing that. I would love to see a snow angel in week three at Tampa Bay. That'd be kind of, isn't that where we are in week three? I think
they're here.
Tampa Bay comes here.
Oh yeah, they come here. Where do we go? Where we could?
We go to Carolina.
There we go. Snow angel in Carolina.
Yeah.
I think our best bet is Lambeau.
Oh, I would love that. Snow Angels and Lambeau Leaps in Green Bay the week of Christmas would be cool. Other things the league discussed at the owners' meetings. Overtime from 15 to 10, topic for another day. I could do an entire Wobcast on this. But anyway, they shortened overtime from 15 to 10. They had to move a Super Bowl. So that's
yeah,
kind
that's
of a big
crazy.
Deal.
In
LA,
yeah.
Because of the delay in Los Angeles, because of all the rain they got.
Right.
That's a shock.
So, yeah, yeah. So they moved the Super Bowl LV from LA to Tampa. So LA still gets a Super Bowl. It's just a year later.
The following year, right?
Right. Yeah. So a Super Bowl moved. That's a big deal. And then the designated to return rule for the injured reserve increased from 1 to 2. As Lindsay noted pre-recording, that's good for us because we seem to have a lot of injuries.
So. I mean, I feel like it's one of those things where you hope that you don't have to use it. But then when we were in a situation maybe last year where we were wishing that you could return more than one person, it makes you more thankful for that rule change now.
Yeah. So that's the big ticket items the league discussed. And, you know, the league tweaks its rules and things like this happen. So we'll have more coverage of that and others on future Wobcasts. For now, though, let's talk about OTAs. All three of us, plus Craig Peters, who's not joining us today, he'll join us next week. All three of us were out for all three OTAs, and mm-hmm. we saw a lot. Media was there for OTA number 2, and it was just us out there for 1 and 3. And so, you know, we're not going to talk about necessarily depth chart stuff and who's running with what team and all that, because we know they're experimenting, and that's all going to change.
Very early.
Yeah. And so, you know, Dalvin Cook was running with the ones, and that's awesome, you know, some of the time. McKinnon was also doing that, and that, so that's really cool. Elfline with the twos. Like, all that stuff's going to be experimented with and change. So all of that stuff notwithstanding, let's talk about some of the bigger takeaways we had from the week. I loved watching Treadwell and Xavier kind of go back and forth. So I'm sorry if I stole some thunder.
Stole my idea.
I'm sorry. I think that's really cool, and I feel like Xavier had one or two interceptions every day of practice, it seemed like, and then I saw Treadwell making a lot of plays, not always on Xavier, but just in general making plays and getting opportunities. So to me, that was really cool, because I think Treadwell's a guy that has a big-time opportunity to take a step forward, because as opposed to last year when it was like, well, we have Diggs and Thielen and Cordero ahead of you and maybe Jay Wright ahead of you and maybe Charles Johnson ahead of you. You know, that's a different mindset that you have.
Definitely.
Compared to now where it's like, hey, Laquan, by the way, you're our third receiver, so you need to produce. And so we saw him, I think, respond in a good way. So I like that. Your guys' thoughts on Laquan?
Yeah, I thought Laquan, yeah, I actually wrote his name down on my little list here. Mm-hmm. He was very focused, you know, very locked in, even just in, like, one-on-one drills.
Mm-hmm.
He seemed like he's mentally engaged and really just into it. Yeah. And that's good to see because I know he was frustrated a little bit last year.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think he looked great. I mean, he had that deep catch mm-hmm. against Xavier. He mm-hmm. had a sliding catch for a touchdown yesterday.
On OTA 3. Yep, mm-hmm, I saw
right
that.
Down in the red zone. Yeah, it just looked clean. It looked pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I have much to add to that, but I would, you know, agree and echo what both of you said. But I think it's encouraging that, you know, I think it is fair to say he was frustrated last year, and I think it's encouraging that he's responded to that by continuing to work hard mm-hmm. and work even harder, and that hasn't dropped off at all, despite maybe being frustrated with himself or with other things. So, yeah, it was encouraging to see him performing well out there.
Yeah. Any other takeaways from watching OTAs, Lindsay, for you?
Especially in yesterday's practice, just what stuck out to me was, I guess, how crisp the defense looked.
Yeah.
And that's not to say that the offense hasn't looked good, too, yeah. but that just stood out to me yesterday. Just seemed really, really high energy.
Yep.
I mean, Xavier had a pick. Terrence had a nice pick pass that was, you know, intended for Kyle Rudolph. And it was just fun to watch them. They just seemed to be, you know, clicking and running on all cylinders.
Yes.
So that was something I noticed.
I had a friend text me who was like, he said he's a big Vikings fan. He said, who looks good?
Uh-huh.
And I started typing out some names who just, like, these people I think look good.
Yeah.
And then I started deleting some names because they were all on the first team defense. And right. I just put first team defense.
Right. Like,
that's all you need.
I mean, good. They should, because they have a lot of continuity.
Right.
Like every
right.
starter pretty much is back. Right. So, except for Chad. So they should look good. And it looks like it's, you know, the middle of the season for mm-hmm. them.
Yeah. And I think we have to also maybe take some of these OTAs with a little bit of a grain of salt, because it's very vanilla. You know, they're not doing anything really exotic. But I did think that Mac Alexander looked pretty good.
Sweet.
You know, he lined up in the slot, first team slot.
Mm-hmm.
Just looked comfortable and
good.
Looks like he's playing well.
Okay, good. Lots of D-line depth. We asked mm-hmm. Andre Patterson about this on the radio yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
On Thursday, and we talked to Zim about this via FaceTime. Like, the D line is one of our better areas last year, and we've added a bunch this year.
Right.
So, really good depth there. And it feels like, I mean, there's a chance that someone's going to have a really good camp and look good in the preseason and not make the team. You know, like that's how deep it is there.
Right. It's going to be interesting to see what ends up shaking out there.
Yeah.
Because, you know, guys from last year are returning. They looked mm-hmm. good last year.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like you said, adding some new names, having Dayton in there, kind of seeing how he develops and, mm-hmm. and where he gets to and what, you know, Coach Patterson's asking him to do. So it'll be interesting.
Yeah. I think the defensive tackle position is so deep that you could, whoever's in on the first play, you could take them out, put two new guys on second down, and then put two more new guys on third down.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how deep the rotation is. I mean, yeah. that's obviously not going to happen. But, I mean, there's, what, 5, 6, 7 guys who are
yeah.
solid.
And where that does happen is this, you know, you get into the second half of a game in the mm-hmm. second half of the season.
Yeah.
And it's two new guys every series.
Right.
And obviously you're going to want Linval in there as much as you can have him in there, but when you're doing that in the second half of a game, in the second half of a season, the offensive line is not doing that and doesn't want to do that.
Right.
Rotate guys in and out. They want the same five out there. But mm-hmm. if you got fresh legs coming at you in the second half of a game, in the second half of the season, that's tough to deal with.
It's just like a wave. You know, the wave yeah. just keeps mm-hmm. on coming.
Yep. Last thing, any observations from the special teams battles? Punter, kicker, kickoff returner, gunner, anything like that. I spent some time watching the gunners work with assistant special teams coach Ryan Ficken. That was kind of cool just to see some of their technique. I didn't chart who was returning and catching kicks. There's just so many of them doing that.
Mm-hmm.
I know that, Eric, you were charting field goals, you know, the one day I was writing down yards for you. But do you guys have any observations on that? I still think no one's talking about Jerick McKinnon enough as a kickoff returner.
That was the one thing that I was going to say, because, you know, I didn't chart anything out specifically either as far as those things you just mentioned. But it's always enjoyable to watch special teams practice. And I think that the idea of using McKinnon as a returner is intriguing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's quick. He obviously has good hands to catch the ball. It'll be interesting to see, but I think that you can't take him out of the mix.
Good.
I actually sat down with Jet for the production days and yeah. asked him about that, and he said he's on board.
Sweet.
He said he wants to do that. I did have a note about the kicking game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've decided I'm going to, as best as I can, I'm going to try to track field goals yeah. throughout OTAs and camp. Not that that's going to solely decide the kicking
choose.
Competition, yeah. but, you know, through the first week of OTAs, Kai was 5 for 5 and made a 50-yarder, and Marshall was 4 for 5, and he just missed one yesterday that he pushed a little bit left.
Yeah, and that was in a competitive period, too. That was in a two-minute period.
Yeah, 2 minutes, under 10 seconds. Yep.
They called the timeout.
Kind of a pressure situation,
yep. And that's really cool that they're doing that during OTAs. It's very easy to write off OTAs as, you know, non-events and not important, but when you have to be there every day like we do to watch them, it's fun when they do two-minute,
right.
and they do red zone, and they do backed up, and third down.
I think that's what Zim talked about throughout the offseason. You know, he's like, we're gonna have situational drills, and
mm-hmm.
I wanna put a little pressure on them early on just to see how they respond, and, yep. and they've done that.
Okay, let's get to some fan mail. I've got three of them, and we're gonna take turns with these. If you got something to say, chime in. on these topics. First one, it comes from Joe, talking about defensive tackle. Tom Johnson should start next to LJ, Linval Joseph. Why? He asks rhetorically. He does it all, can pressure the quarterback, tackles really well, tough and dependable. He's playing his best ball right now. Hard to disagree with all of that about Tom, especially because we've gotten to see him for 2 years.
Yeah, I mean, I think, like we just talked about, there are so many guys at that could play that defensive tackle position right now, and guys that have done it well. But I do think, you know, that Tom Johnson played really well last year. Mm-hmm. I think the big thing for him is if he can stay healthy and, you know, he's getting a little older by football mm-hmm. standards, I guess. And mm-hmm. just if he can stay at the top of his game, I find it, you know, hard to argue with those skills and, yeah. you know, that argument there. But hard to say who should start, though.
It is.
Especially because they do rotate so many guys in.
It is hard to say, and I don't think it's important who starts. Right. I think it's important who's playing in the fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm.
But, and maybe if someone is the, you know, quote-unquote starter, it doesn't mean they're going to be in there every, you know, for three yeah. plays in a row.
Right.
You know, just because someone's in there on first down yeah. on the first play of the game doesn't mean they're going to be there the whole time. Yep.
Especially at that position.
Yes, where you want to rotate, and Zim loves to rotate those guys.
Right.
Yeah. All right, the next one comes from Paul. I'm hopeful and excited that Kentrell Brothers can hit the ground running as our middle linebacker this season. Many will remember the success that Zach Thomas had in the middle for the Dolphins. He was 5'10", 230. Zach was all over the field. Kentrell is 6'1", 242 and is a tackling machine. He could represent a great addition to a solid 2017 defense. Go Vikes. This, to me, is a fascinating topic, and we've talked about it on the Wobcast before. We're going to talk mm-hmm. about it again because you have basically five linebackers competing for what is one spot
right.
left vacant by Chad Greenway's retirement. Chad was an outside linebacker, but just because you're a Mike linebacker on this roster doesn't mean you can't have that spot. They could kick Kendricks out, and you could play middle, or they could ask you to play outside if they truly feel you're the third best linebacker. It wouldn't surprise me if we asked Adam Zimmer at the end of training camp, hey, who's your third best linebacker? And he said Kentrell Brothers. That wouldn't surprise me.
Mm-hmm.
No, not at all. I like Kentrell, what he does on and off the field. I think they maybe have kind of penciled Kendricks in there in the middle. So I mm-hmm. think we are maybe looking more towards the outside spot.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't see any reason why Kentrell can't play that. I mean, he played great on special teams last year.
Yeah.
And seems ready to kind of take that next step.
Mm-hmm. I did, you know, if it is not him, it feels like Edmund Robinson would get some run because he's been here for, this will be his third season, right? So,
yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's a guy who could get some run, I think. Really good athlete and looks like an outside linebacker.
Right.
I've heard good things about Elijah Lee in terms of special teams ability, so.
And he had a good play yesterday inside the five.
Elijah did?
Yeah, he just tipped away a pass and prevented maybe a touchdown.
Yep.
But a good rangey play.
Okay, sweet. Next one from my man Caleb in Malawi, Africa. Caleb, he's in here all the time. Pick six or the mailbag or the Wobcast. He's a big-time Vikings fan, and you're going to get that sense based on this question. What is up with the lack of love from the NFL's top 100 players? Harrison Smith at 74, Xavier Rhodes at 66 is not correct placement. I mean, placing Rhodes behind Casey Hayward and Chris Harris Jr. seems kind of like a joke, says Caleb. Just wondering your thoughts. This is my theory on the top 100 players that NFL Network does. I think it's a year behind. I think it's always just 1 year behind.
I can see that.
Like, Xavier was 66th this year.
Uh-huh.
I think he was actually probably the 66th best player last year.
Sure, that makes sense.
After the 15 season.
After the
16 yeah. season, he is whatever he is, and that's where he'll be next year.
Next year.
Yeah, it's always kind of 1 year behind. The other thing to remember about this is the way they tabulate it is they ask the players to rank the top 20.
Sure.
And then they fill out 100, you know, the top 100 from all the top 20s. So if someone doesn't think you're a top 20 player, you're not going to be in the top 100. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that kind of skews the placement and voting a little bit.
But. Right.
I also think maybe, you know, he mentioned
Who did he mention here?
Harrison Smith at 74.
Oh, you know, he mentioned Hayward and Harris. Yeah. You know, and he mentioned stats. Just because a cornerback doesn't have a lot of interception doesn't mean he's a bad cornerback. I mean, Xavier did great last year with his team-high 5 picks, but he could have had 1 pick, and he would still had a Pro Bowl year.
Yeah. Yeah, and it also, you know, I look at a guy like Terrence Newman, you know?
Great, yeah. He Terrence only had 1 pick, and people were like, well, he only had 1 pick. When some metrics or measures or stats, whatever, have him rated higher than Xavier.
They do, yes, some do. And Terrence is not going to go to the Hall of Fame, but, I mean, if you think about him, he's been one of Mike Zimmer's top 2 or 3 corners for a decade.
Right.
So, I mean,
that says a lot.
I mean, the consistency and longevity on that is crazy.
You can't make a Hall of Fame case for him, but you can look at others' corners in the Hall of Fame who wouldn't have been one of Mike Zimmer's top 2 or 3 corners for 10 straight years, I bet.
Right.
You know, so, you know, you have, like you said, Eric, earlier about OTAs so far, taken with a grain of salt. You have to take the top 100 players with a grain of salt. It's not a true ranking or analysis. It is how players feel about their peers.
Right.
And, you know, I think it's a year behind, basically. Yeah. So, all right. Anything else we should talk about? That's it.
Have a great 3-day weekend.
I'm going to try. You guys, too. 3 more OTAs next week.
I know. I'm excited.
OTAs 4, 5, and 6. 1 week closer to Coach Zimmer being back, and 1 week closer to the mandatory minicamp, which should be a lot of fun, and we'll conclude the offseason program. So, all right. On behalf of Lindsey Young and Eric Smith, and, of course, producer Nate Vaughn, I'm your host, Mike Walpshaw, signing off for now. More to come next week, so stay tuned.